Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
moderator is Overseer-elect Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back, cross these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. I just want to continue to just send a hearty thanks to all of my faithful and loyal listeners. Hallelujah, that continually to make the Old Ship of Zion part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. I want you just to bring all your digital devices. I want you to bring your smartphone, your iPhone, your tablets, all your digital gadgets, and bring them aboard. For we are living in a digital world, and digital is the way. So I want you to bring your chip and your dip and whatever you want to sip, your OJ, your latte, your water beverages, and just allow me to minister unto you what the Spirit has to say unto the church. I won't be with you very long on this morning. I will be quick and brief, but I'll let the Lord lead and I shall follow. Hallelujah. And so we're not going to go into a prayer. We got two prayers that we do. We do a opening prayer. We're going to do that one, but the prayer for the loss of the loved one, we're just going to pray that God will touch all of those that has lost loved ones, maybe in the last 72 hours, the last 48, the last 24, the last 16, the last 8, the last hour, the last moment, the last second ago. We want God to just touch you, hallelujah, as only He can. We know that the Bible tells us that weeping might endure for a night, but we know that joy cometh in the morning. And you have prayer warriors. We have other pilgrims, warriors, saints of God, that is. Let me identify who they are. They are not just people praying, but they are saints of God that are praying around the nation for you, you, and you, and you. And so we're praying that God will restore the joy that you once knew and bring restoration back unto your soul. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Let the temple of God people say amen and amen. Hallelujah. So right now we're going to go quickly into our opening prayer. Each time that we approach this podium, we fail not, hallelujah, to reference our Lord and Savior and soon coming Messiah. His identity is Jesus Christ. He's a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. And Jesus is not in a tomb, but he's sitting in his heavenly dominions, not on the left, not in the middle, but he's sitting on the right-hand side of God. Hallelujah. Looking down on creation. So I want you to just bow your beautiful heads, if you will. I'm just asking you. I'm not demanding you because I cannot demand you to do anything. But I'm asking you as a woman of God to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and reference God at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, enabling us together in unity, God, once again around this. Father God, you said that when you went away, you was going to prepare a place for us, and upon your return, you would receive us unto yourself. But until that time is upon us, God, we will continue moving upward and onward in your will and in your way. Mounting up, hallelujah, from the four winds of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you, God, in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, hallelujah, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every individual that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise and we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask, hallelujah, in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And let the cathedral of God say amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to go right on, dive right on in to, hallelujah, our theme on this morning. And the title is A New Thing. Hallelujah. We're talking about how God can take our lives, past lives, you know, because we wasn't always saved, we wasn't always sanctified, we wasn't always Holy Ghost filled, but we were sinners, we was lost, we was rich undone, we was down in the miry clay of sin. But one day somebody somewhere told you and I and us about Jesus. Hallelujah, and how we could get a hold to Jesus, and Jesus could get a hold to us. And we had God gave us a choice, and we had a choice to choose if we want to follow in God's footsteps, or if we want to follow in the adversary's footsteps. So if we chose the footsteps of Jesus, then this is the lifestyle that we have chosen. And that is to live a holy and acceptable lifestyle, pleasing unto God. And so, you know, like I said, we were sinners. But then God came along and God saved us. God took all of the sins that was upon us. And God put the sins in the sea. And he didn't remember them anymore. So we're talking about God doing a new thing. So I just want you to get close to your podcast dial. I have the chat room up and available for your sitting and your listening pleasure. So I welcome you once again. Welcome, 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 my dear friends. And God bless each of you. Thank you for coming from the depths of my very heart and soul. So we're going to go on into our scripture reading. It's coming out of the law. Hallelujah, of Isaiah 43 and 19. And so we know that an African proverb teaches us that if you want to know the ends, hallelujah, then you can look at the beginnings. We know that in time, hallelujah, of difficulties, you and I and us, we often wonder how things will turn out. Sometimes we lose hope and even become anxious and fearful. Finding its people exiled and in captivity, the nation of Israel undoubtedly experienced despair, anxiety, and fear because of their situation. You know, sometimes you and I and us, we can feel that way right here on planet Earth. We can get in a situation to where we don't even know how we're going to make it, how we're going to make ends meet, how we're going to pay your mortgage, how you're going to pay your rent, how you're going to pay that car note, how you're going to pay your kids' tuition, college tuition, daycare tuition, hallelujah, private school tuition. You don't know how you're going to meet those goals. But those of you that know God know that you can go down in prayer. We know that prayer moves some things. Prayer moves God on yours and mine's and our behalf. Prayer is a weapon of victory. Hallelujah. In a time of chaos, in a time of calamity, in a time of your tsunami, God can do a new thing. He can prove himself in your life. You know, so many times we depend on Tyrone and Mr. Jones and Miss Jones. But we find out that our God is a jealous God. And God don't want us to get too close to anybody. But if we're getting close to anybody, it better be him. Because he's a jealous. You know, that used to be a song that say, I'm a jealous kind of fella. Well, Jesus is a jealous kind of fella. He just happened to be a spiritual fella. And he is jealous. He is jealous, hallelujah, over you and I and us. So God do not want you depending on Mr. and Mrs. Jones, Mr. Brown, Mr. White. But God wants you to put your total dependency on him. Hallelujah. And when you find out you don't know how you're going to make those bills that has stacked up against you. You know, we can call on Jesus when we can't call on Tyrone. We can call on Jesus. And Jesus will be right there. You know, I hear so many people say, God may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. But I beg to differ, because the God that I serve will come when I call him. He won't just come, you know, right on time. He may not come when I call him, but he will come when I call him. If you call him right, because you and I and us cannot demand God to do anything. He demands us on what to do, our do's and don'ts. But we cannot demand God to do anything. We can come humbly before the throne of grace, asking God for what we need and believing that what we have asked will be given unto you and I and us, will be granted. But we know that the prophet Isaiah gave an important reminder to Israel, even as God has been at work in their beginnings. He would shape their futures well. God promised to move in a radical way and do a new thing. Their past problems, their mistakes, their sins have no bearing on the future, because God would blot them out and not remember them anymore. And that's the way God did you and I and us. And those of you that don't know God, or you might know God, but you might not know him personally as your and have him as your Lord and Savior. But I'm here to encourage your heart on this morning. Hallelujah. That you can get to know him and you can allow God to do a new thing in you. God will do a new thing. You know, God will give us a new identity. We'll still have our name. We'll still look the same, but we'll have a spiritual identity. The old places that you and I used to hang out, we don't hang out at those places anymore. The old Jew joints and the old honky-tonks, you know, and the old Lover's Inn, Lover's Lane. You know, what do they call that, Holiday Inn and Hotel 6, wherever you used to hang out at. You don't go those places anymore. You don't go to the liquor store anymore and buy liquor and booze and wine, whiskey and wine. You don't go those places anymore. Why? Because God did a new thing in you and I and us. We are new and improved. We may not be where we ought to be, but we sure not where we were. Hallelujah. So God, hallelujah, is continually working on you and I and us every day that we live. So, you know, this is an ongoing thing. This is not just a one-stop does it all, but this is a continual thing. God will continue to work a new thing in you and I and us as long as we're here on planet Earth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless his holy name. And God said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. Isaiah reminded them that God has a track record of turning things around. We know that our ancestors who were slaves also found themselves in exile and captivity. They too experienced the pain and alienation, hallelujah, of being separated from their homeland. Yet they heard God promise to do a new thing, and they applied it to themselves. And I'm encouraging you to apply this same thing to your life right now. Because we know that there is hope. This promise allowed them to live for a better deed. Trusting it would come, they left us a legacy. They understood that the hands of God moved among them, giving them hope that God was in control of their future. And God is in control of yours and mine and our future right here and right now. The Bible says that you and I is bought with a price. You are not of your own. Because God's blood stained tears, and his blood as well. So his blood and his tears paid the penalty, a debt that you and I could not pay. So that means that we are not our own. But God paid the penalty for our sins. A God that the Bible says that knew no sin. Neither was a guile found in his mouth. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. So we must remember that God is present in every situation, in yours and mine and our lives. Even periods of trouble, we often view hard times as a sign of defeat. However, if we look at the beginnings, we can find hope and assuring, knowing that just as God moved for Israel and our ancestors, God will move for you and I and us. Even now, he is doing a new thing. Right now. You may not even know it, but God is doing a new thing. Hallelujah. See, God said, behold, the old things has been washed away. And behold, all things has become new. So God has put our sin in the sea of forgetfulness, and God won't do like our friends. God won't do like our relatives. Remember your past sins. Oh, girl, you used to do this. You used to do that. You know, you used to go here. You used to go there. But God will put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness to remember them anymore. Hallelujah. So, like I said, God is doing a new thing in our lives. You know, God. Yes, I believe God really get happy, and I know he do when one of his children come into the sheepfold of God and in the knowledge and the newness of God, come from the world. The Bible says, come from among them and be ye separated, says the Lord. And you know, saints of God and friends and listeners, you know God is soon to come. I know you've heard that a zillion times, you might say. I've heard that, you know, and I just heard that lie, and they keep lying about that. But that is true. Now, they're lying if they can tell you when he's coming. That's a lie. Because no one knows the time or the hour that the Son of Man cometh. But we know that all the signs and the writing is on the wall, my sister and my brother, that God is soon to come. And you know, it's time for you to know where you're going to spend eternity. We know death is uncertain. Death do not tell you when he's coming. So if I was you and I didn't know God in the pardons of my iniquity, I would raise my hands right where I was standing. I was kneeling, I was sitting, I was lying, I was squatting. And I would acknowledge, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned before thee. Forgive me of all of my sins that I've committed. Lord, I accept you as to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart and reside. And God will reside in your heart if it's clean and free of debris of sin. God cannot, shall not live in an unclean temple. But when your temple is clean and free of sin, then God will live inside, spiritually live inside of your heart. And God will guide you through this daily journey of living this new Christian life, this new holy sanctification lifestyle before your family, before your colleagues, before your friends. And you can tell them that God has done a new thing in you, and God can do a new thing in them as well. Hallelujah. We know that God's faithfulness to Israel had been heartbreakingly ignored. Though he had repeatedly sought his people and said, here am I. Here am I. They had not called his name. They were pursuing their own imagination, following after other gods, burning incense, living in tombs, spending nights in dark corners. But Isaiah had warned Israel that because she had abandoned God, she would have to pay. You know, if we continue to be in living sin, there is a price that you and I will have to pay. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. There is a price that we will have to pay, hallelujah, if we continue to live in sin and refuse to give up the world. Hallelujah, Jesus, bless your holy name. And the Bible says that his judgment would be fierce and his punishment complete. But we find out in God's mercy he would not destroy all of Israel, but preserve a faithful remnant. And we know that suddenly the passage changes as God's anger dissipates, and he promised to create, hallelujah, a new heaven and a new earth, where the former shall not be remembered. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Isaiah 65 and 17. God had promised a remnant in Israel was preserved. They responded and listened to his call. Israel was then ready to come without the appearance of a redeemer who would come, hallelujah, to Zion, unto them that turned from transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord, Isaiah 59 and 20. We cannot be blessed tomorrow without a fundamental instruction to usher in a new earth, without being made new in Christ. As Paul said, put off concerning the former conversations. The old man, which is corrupt, and God is talking about our old sins. Our old lifestyle was corrupted before we knew God, before we accepted God into our lives. According to the deceitful lust, hallelujah, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 4 and 22 through 24. We must change if we are bound up. The wounds of our nations and of our communities. We must forget individualism, materialism, arrogance, and greed. We must remember patience, justice, love, and peace. Then and only then can we hope for a new city on the present ruin. So we know that in order for God to do a new thing in our lives, we must be willing to give up the world. You know, the world can make things look so inviting, so beautiful, so enticing. But it's all make-believe. It's a short-lived thing, you know. It's not going to last very long. You know, there's a saying said every good thing has to come to an end. So we know that after a while, God is going to tear that playground down. The devil's campground, God is going to tear it down. Because, you know, God is sick and tired of this evilness, this hatred and malice that's going on in our world. God is going to do a new thing. I'm not talking about a tsunami. I'm not talking about a tsunami, Matthew. But I'm talking about God. He's going to turn this world inside out. He's going to do a topsy-derby on this world. If we ever needed God, we need him. Like right now. This moment, this second, this hour, God. And if you think you're so big that you don't need God, I feel sorry for you. Because all of your money, marble, and chalk, all of your prestige, even if you're on the front cover of the Rolling Stones, God is the order of the day. God is the who's who of this world. He is the CNC. He is the Christ in charge over you, I, and us. I said before that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price. And we are bought with a price. Hallelujah. We are bought with a price. And we know that our nation is sick. This nation that you and I is living in. It's sick. It had a bad heart. Our nation and its people need a major operation. A heart transplant is what it needs. We know that the symptoms of its bad heart are violence, crime, dysfunctional families, racism, moral and social apathy, greed, and adultery. Hallelujah, Jesus. And like us, Israel had rebelled against God. Because their heart was so hardened, they chose not to remember God's blessings. They chose not to remember his deliverance, his instructions. They were trampled down, the objects of ridicule. They had a defeated spirit. They had lost their direction and prosperity. But then the nation of Israel repented. They changed their hearts toward God and renewed their relationship with him. And that's exactly what our nation is going to have to do. Our nation is going to have to renew its relationship with God. So God responded, "See now, I am for you. Things are going to get better than you ever thought possible. The world will acknowledge and honor me, your God, because of our renewed relationship. Families will be whole again. Communities will be rebuilt. Your populations, hallelujah, will increase. You will be more prosperous than at your beginning." Ezekiel remind you and I and us, hallelujah, that the conditions don't have to stay the way that they are. We don't have to suffer with the symptoms of a bad heart. We know that repentance is in the operation that we need. And we know that God promises that if we repent, he will give us a new heart. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I will take away the stony heart. hallelujah, out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ezekiel 36 and 26 through 27. We know that repentance before the Lord results in receiving a new heart and the life-giving spirit. The new heart produces love. It produces joy. It produces peace. It produces kindness. It produces goodness. It produces fidelity. It produces gentleness. It produces self-control. And God promised us that restoration and preservation are the rewards. Here, see God is for you, I, and us. God is doing a new thing, hallelujah, in the lives of his people. Allow God to do a new thing in you on today. If you have a cussing demon, allow God to do a new thing. God can remove that cussing demon that you have. Hallelujah. If you got a habit of constantly lying about things, God can take away that lying demon, that spiritual demon that you have. God can do a new thing in your life. If you're stealing, you're robbing, you're swearing, you're doing everything that you're big enough and bad enough to do, allow God to do a new thing in your life. God is the go-to man. He is the man of the hour. God said, in the beginning was God. And before God, there wasn't anyone. God is the beginning and he is the end. And God is knocking at the door of your heart. God wants you to just accept his invitation to put down the sinful lifestyle that you're now living, that is now existing in your life. Tell God that you're tired of being sick and tired. You want to turn over a new leaf. You want to turn over a new leaf on life. You want God to be your personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah, to reside inside of your heart. And you promise that you would live a sanctification lifestyle before God and before man, before your families, your friends, and tell others about this Savior that you have found. In ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prepositions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Send your correspondence, make them attentive too. Overseer-elect Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. I want to encourage you to go in God and allow God to go in you. I want to briefly open up the studio prayer request line. Anyone in my digital audience have a prayer petition that you would want the old ship of Zion to spiritually touch and agree that what you prayed and asked God for, that God would bring it to its fruition? We're going to open up the lines of prayer right now. So those of you that have a prayer request, hallelujah, now is your time to call in. Hallelujah. And then we're going to go into the second phase of our praise and worship church experience. And that is a hymns of Zion. So we're going to give them a few more minutes to, you know, for anyone that has a prayer petition to call in. We're going to give you a few more minutes before we go into the second phase of our program. And I want you to just buckle up with Jesus at your will, because he is people-friendly. Don't leave home without God. Pray before you lay. Pray when you exit your home, you exit your workplace. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your nation. Hallelujah. You know, you can never be rid of prayer, because prayer is what we need from day to day to survive here in this wicked world. So it behooves all of us to keep a prayer communication line open with God at all times. Hallelujah. All right, then, I guess there's no prayer request at this time, so we're going to take you right now on into the second phase of our program, and that is Hymns of Zion. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name.
No. America.